turn with me to the book of James. James. You know, the last few weeks, I've been dealing with where we live. I've been dealing with the tongue. We all have one, and we all use it plenty. Sometimes we use it for good, sometimes for not so good. This is where we live, very practical. James is probably the most practical of all of the New Testament epistles. He deals extensively with the subject of the tongue in chapter 3, where we will go in just a minute, but I want to begin with James chapter 1. A couple of verses that I would like to encourage us to commit to heart, commit to memory. James 1, specifically verses 19 and 20. This is our theme. Let this be our theme. Let this be what we take home with us. If we don't remember anything else, let's remember James 1, verse 19 and 20, which says, "Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man, every woman, every one of us," he's speaking in the general sense, "let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God." Can I read it again? "Wherefore," that is, so then, "my beloved brethren," James is writing to his brethren. This would be the Christian brothers and sisters, "my beloved brethren." He's writing to Christians. You know why? Because we Christians need this too. It's not just, you know, we don't say, "Oh, that's for the heathen." No, that's for us. "My beloved brethren, let some of you," most of you, "let every one of us be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger, because your anger does not produce God's righteousness. Let every one of us swift to hear." Let's be eager to hear. Let's be active, interested listeners. Let's be slow to speak. That means you think before you, you know, put your mouth in motion. Engage the brain. Engage the heart. Listen. Think about it. Before you speak, you want to speak with wisdom. You want to speak with godly clarity. Swift to hear, slow to speak, and even slower to anger. Amen. Too many Christians are quick on the trigger. Yep. Amen. Explosive. Amen. You know how you handle nitroglycerin?
Very carefully.
Very carefully. And some people, unfortunately, you have to really be careful around them. What you say might cause detonation. And it often doesn't take much. Just a little spark creates quite the explosion. And you find yourselves walking on eggshells. You know that old expression? Walking on eggshells. Because the least little spark, you just say something that they take the wrong way. And here comes the detonation, the explosion, the carnage, the fallout. You know, my dad used to say, "When you talk, you don't learn." When you talk, you don't learn. When you listen, you learn. Listen, so be a listener, slow to speak. You know, I've come to realize, it took me a while, but I came to realize that the whole world doesn't need my input on every subject. Yeah, it's a loss to the world, but sometimes I've learned that keeping my opinion to myself is wise. Praise God. So here's our theme: swift to hear, slow to speak, and slower still to detonation. Slower still to anger. You know what the Bible says? A man who can control his spirit is mightier than the one who can capture a whole city. But a person who can't control their spirit is like a city broken down without walls. So easy prey for the enemy. Look, when we are so explosive on the trigger, you know the devil loves to push our buttons. He loves, and he laughs. He'll make sure your buttons get pushed just to watch the explosion. And then he condemns you for days. And then it takes you weeks to sweep up the mess that you've caused from your explosion. Sometimes months. And sometimes you can never clean up the mess. Y'all awake, right? James 1:26. If any man among you seems to be religious and bridles not his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this man's religion is empty. It's vain. It's powerless. It's weak at the very best. A person can seem to be cloaked in piety, but when that tongue is ungoverned, when that tongue is always on the verge of detonation, you really destroy your own testimony and your own credibility. Swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, slow to. Let that be our theme, not just today or this week. Let it be our life theme. James 3, let's make our way over to chapter 3. No study on the tongue or controlling our tongue would be complete if we didn't deal with James 3. Beginning in verse 2, James says, in many things and in many ways, we all offend. It's easy to offend or be offended. We trip, we stumble, we fall, we err. Amen. We make a mistake in many ways. But here's the mark of a person who is a mature Christian. Verse 2. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man. King James, a perfect man. It means to be complete, to be mature, to be fully developed. It means to be like a finished product. If any offends not in word, the same is a mature man, a mature Christian, and able also to bridle the whole body. Behold, look, see, we put bits in the horses' mouths that they may obey us. And we turn about their whole body. That's right. You clamp down on that mouth and you can control them. Control the mouth, control the horse. As big as they are, control that mouth. Turn them one way, turn them another. Now, I'm not an experienced horse rider. All I know is they run. They got a brain of their own. But I'm sure had I maybe grew up around them, I'd have had a different opinion of them. But here's what the Bible says. If you can control their mouth, you can get them to obey you. And you can turn their whole body around. In modern society, we don't really have a whole lot of use for horses. I mean, people ride them and people do still use them, but not in America a whole lot. Now, what we do have is automobiles. And while we might talk about putting control the horse's mouth and you can control its whole body, it would maybe be comparable to if you can control the steering wheel, you control the whole direction of the vehicle. Little bitty steering wheel, great big vehicle. Here's the comparison. He says, verse 4, "Behold also the ships, which though they be so great and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth." That is, gigantic ship, small rudder. And this ship, even though the wind seems to be driving it in one direction, powerful forces of nature behind it, the guy who's got the tiller, who controls the rudder, determines which way that ship goes. Control the rudder, control the direction of the ship. As big as it is. That's what he says. "They are turned about with a very small helm. Wherever the captain, the navigator, the guy in control of the helm, wherever he chooses." Verse 5, "Even so, in the same manner, the tongue is a little member." It's really not that big. "It boasteth great things. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindles." He's going to speak now about the tongue and its capability. A small tongue, big potential. A small spark can light a whole fire. And then he says, verse 6, "The tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. For every kind of beast and birds and serpents and of things in the sea is tamed and has been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Therewith we bless God, even the Father, and therewith we curse men, which are made in the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceeds blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Does a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries, or a vine figs? So can no fountain. Both yield salt water and fresh." Powerful, powerful. Verses 2 to 12, 11 verses, powerful verses. In fact, probably the strongest words in the whole Bible about the destructive nature of the tongue. You know what's interesting about these verses? They all deal with the negative aspect of the tongue. The one single positive note about the tongue in this whole passage I just read is, "Therewith bless we God." Other than that, everything else James talks about here is negative, destructive, harmful, hurtful, injurious, all the things the tongue can do. It's all negative, except that one thing. Now, you know, there are many, many passages, many proverbs that deal with positive things about the tongue. James ignores all of those. He deals with what's negative about the tongue. And it makes me think that James was dealing with issues in the church, in church members, problems that were going on in families, problems going on in the church itself. And he wanted to emphasize by the anointing of the Holy Spirit just how much trouble this tongue can cause. And sometimes, I really think here in America, We tend to think that we just say whatever's on our mind. We say what we think. We tell people what they think. And that's our right. It's our First Amendment right. And while the government gives us the right, the Lord says that we better watch what we say. Proverbs 29:11, a fool utters all his mind. He gives vent to all his feelings, as the New King James says. He gives vent to all his feelings, but a wise man holds it back. Amen. A fool, on the other hand, just blurts out every stupid thing that comes to their mind, every piece of anger, every little resentment, everything that they think. There's no filter. Amen. There's no slow to speak. And here in James, he uses some powerful illustrations, you know, the horse, the ship. These are two totally different things. A horse is a living thing, but you can control it with the bridle. The ship is a non-living thing, and huge, massive, especially, you know, ships then as compared to ships now. But one thing remains the same. It's controlled by the rudder. Amen. No matter how big a ship it is, the rudder controls it. Its direction, its course, what it does, where it goes. It's only been, it was Friday the 13th, actually, of 2012, that a big luxury cruise ship called the Costa Concordia embarked on a one-week Mediterranean cruise out of a port in Italy. It was just a week of cruising the Mediterranean Sea. Luxurious ship, $1 billion ship. 4,000 people were on board, about 3,000 passengers, roughly about 1,000 crew members. The ship was only gone 3 hours from port when the captain, Francesco Schettino, he said, I got a good idea. Let's take the ship off of its computer-controlled route and let's take the helm and go swing by this island. You know, we're going to salute the island. Now, the story is, whether they ever validated it or not, but the story is that he had a girlfriend over there and he wanted to impress her. And he swung by this island. And he told everybody, don't worry, I'm familiar with this area. I'm familiar with these waters, you know. The tongue boasteth great things, right? I got it. I'm in control. I got it. You got a $1 billion ship. You're going to swing out of your charted path where they know it's right, but you're going to impress a girl. And you know what happened. Interesting thing is, when the investigation came, they found that he had done this once before. He swung by that island once before. But he didn't get nearly as close that time. This time, I tell you, I think there's such a lesson here too, and I'll talk about it in a minute. But this time he got even closer. He got closer, more dangerous ground, and the ship ran into a big, huge underwater rock, and you know what happened. The ship began taking on water, began listing severely, flooding all the down quarters, 30-something people drowned. The captain abandoned the ship, left the passengers and everybody behind. It was quite an interesting story. I don't know if you followed it, but he wound up getting sentenced to 16 years in jail. Yeah, that's right. And the ship had to be scrapped, actually. But, you know, it matters what you do with the rudder. It matters what you do. Matters what you do with the tongue. Remember the ship, rudder, the tongue, they're compared here. It matters what you do. And look, it doesn't just affect you. Look how many people are affected. Look how many. 30, 30-something passengers lost their lives that day. Their plan was, not a three-hour cruise in a ship sink, but a week of luxury and fine dining and viewing the Mediterranean. But that rudder, that was not controlled properly, caused massive destruction and loss. What's the lesson here? This too, this tongue can cause massive harm. It can injure. It can do so much hurt. It can produce so much pain. It can destroy lives, destroy children, destroy marriages. I think we could probably all tell stories of harm we've caused or harm that's even been caused to us by a tongue. A mother with a vicious tongue is a terrible thing. Does terrible things to children, scars them, injures them, wounds them, and only the grace of God heals those things. A father with a terrible, vicious tongue is a wicked thing. That the tongue can be so wicked. You can ruin a person's whole value of themselves, and you can persuade them that they are worth nothing. I don't know how much we're aware of it, but they say that verbal abuse is one of the most underreported forms of abuse in the nation. We hear a lot about physical abuse, husband abusing their wife physically, or sometimes it's vice versa. But verbal abuse is very real and all too common even here in the United States of America. You know what's so vicious about it? It attacks the very nature of a person. It attacks their abilities, makes them feel worthless. It just demeans, it belittles, it undercuts. And it's got one of those hair trigger mechanisms. The least little thing can provoke it. It can be outward name calling, or it can be some of that subtle stuff that's almost tantamount to brainwashing. Just undermining a person's feeling of worth or value. You know the whole idea of verbal abuse? Manipulation and control. That's the whole idea. And in the Bible, the desire to control and manipulate, that's really born out of witchcraft. It's an evil heart. It's an evil heart that just wants to dominate and control. And that's what verbal abuse is. It's very manipulating, very controlling, very evil, very insidious. And it's unpredictable. It's, again, like handling nitroglycerin. You never know what's liable to set it off. But what happens when a person is maybe you live with a dad, a mom, a spouse, or somebody that's verbally abusive. They convey to you that it's your fault. That maybe they said things they shouldn't have said, but it's really your fault. You provoked me. You started it. You caused it. But and some unpredictable thing is what triggered it. But it's always the other person's fault. Listen, the Bible says some of the most powerful things about the tongue. You right here in verse 5. It's a little member. It boasts great things. It causes major problems. Notice what he says in verse 6. The tongue is a fire. A world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members. It defiles the whole body. It sets on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. It's set on fire of hell. Hell is behind the fire that the tongue causes. It's hell behind it. It's the very power of Satan himself that is behind this vicious, verbally abusive, demeaning, cutting, critical, ugly, spirited, mean, cruel tongue. It's true. It's hell itself at work. This is, your Bible says this. so many warnings on the tongue. So many times we're told to guard what we say. Set a watch upon my mouth. Let the meditation of my heart, the words of my mouth, be acceptable. So many things God says about the tongue. And yet, we heed them not. And look, this verbal assault and attack that people do on one another, this is not a side issue. This is the issue. This is what divides homes, divides families, divides churches, divides partnerships. It matters. As we said a couple of weeks ago, it matters very much what we do with this tongue. It matters. And here's another thing I wanted to point out. It tends to escalate, you know. It tends to get worse. Like the guy driving the ship, steering it closer. He got away with it once, but the next time, closer yet. That's so often what happens with the tongue. It doesn't generally improve itself. It gets worse. The verbal abuse gets worse. It gets more evil. It gets more cruel. It gets more vicious. It gets more divisive until it totally destroys. And then there's no patching it back up together except for the grace of God. 35 or 36 years in pastoring and talking and counseling and seeing and observing, I can't count how many marriages I believe have been destroyed by a tongue. Can't even count them. Because I would consider an ungoverned tongue, ungoverned temper, words that fly out with venom, with ferocity, with anger, that so undermine a relationship that eventually it kills it altogether. More than once, I've sat across from a person who's been the victim of the tongue over and over and over and over, and they just said, there's no putting this back together. Yep. Never going to happen. These verses, we need to read them and reread them and ask the Lord to help us to get a hold of ourselves, our own spirit, and actually practice these principles of slow to speak, swift to hear. Because just as the captain of the Costa Concordia ran his ship into a reef, our own mouth gets us into a whole bunch of trouble. Proverbs 15:28 says, the heart of the righteous ponders how to answer, but the mouth of the wicked pours out evil things. Pours out evil things. I've mentioned before in boating, there's a law in boating that you are responsible for your wake. You know, the wake is what you leave behind when you run in a boat. The law is you're responsible for it. So if you run too close to a dock, too fast, you create a wake that causes damage, destruction, harm. Doesn't matter that you're long past, here comes the wake. Turn somebody's boat over, capsizes a canoe, somebody in a kayak, you know. Here's Vic out there in his kayak, and a big power boat passes by. The damage you cause with your wake, your responsibility. You are responsible for whatever you cause with your wake. You're always responsible. And that can be a challenge nowadays with so many kayaks on the water. You don't always see them until you pass them up. And then you pass them up and you realize there's a kayak there and you just flew by them and say, man, I hope that wasn't Vic that just turned over there. The same is true with our tongue. We're responsible, you know. You can't just shrug it off and say, oh, well, they just took it the wrong way. Yep. How else can you take it when you say, you're stupid? Well, you know, they just took it the wrong way. There's only one way to take it. You're responsible for your wake, for the damage you cause. Titus chapter 1 and verse 10 and 11, the Bible speaks of those whose mouths must be stopped. Speaks of many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers whose mouths must be stopped. They subvert whole houses and they teach things they ought not to teach and so forth. But, you know, I wonder too if maybe our mouths ought to be stopped too sometimes. Amen. Can you turn it off? Sometimes you just have to have an off switch, beloved. We're Americans. We can say what's on our mind. Well, you can if you're willing to deal with the consequences. But even here, you know, even in America where they let you say what's on your mind pretty much, even they have limitations. I mean, if your mouth starts, you know, threatening the president of the United States, even if you're just sitting, you know, like the guy who was sitting in the barroom saying he was going to kill the president, well, he wound up in jail. So there's limitations to what you can say. If you walk on a plane and say, yeah, I got a bomb in my luggage, you have the freedom to say that. And then they have the freedom to arrest you and the responsibility. You pay for what you say. You pay for what you say. Or if you threaten to blow up a school or whatever, you know, you say, I'm going to bring a gun to work next week and I'm going to settle things. Well, you pay for what you say. There are repercussions. There are consequences. You know, the same thing is true for us, beloved. We might not be threatening to kill, but death and life is in the power of the tongue. You can build up a relationship, you can tear one down. You can strengthen, you can harm. Amen. Y'all awake, right? Yes. Ecclesiastes, let me read a passage over here. Chapter 5. I'm going to read this in the New King James. Ecclesiastes 5, verse 1, verse 2. Walk prudently when you go to the house of God, and draw near to hear rather than to give the sacrifice of fools, for they do not know that they do evil. Do not be rash with your mouth, and let not your heart utter anything hastily before God, for God is in heaven, and you are on earth. Therefore, let your words be few. Excuse me. Don't be hasty. Don't be rash. Proverbs 10:19. In the multitude of words, there lacketh not sin. Excuse me. But he that refraineth his lips is wise. James says, chapter 3, verse 5. Such a small thing. The tongue is such a little thing. But it's so full of self-importance, it boasts great things. And behold, how great a matter a little fire kindles. Just a little match can burn down a whole house. Can burn down a whole building. Can burn down a factory. Can burn down a forest. All like Miss O'Leary's famous lantern can burn down the city of Chicago. Before that fire burned out, 17,000 homes and buildings burned in old Chicago. 300 people were dead. 125,000 people were homeless because a cow kicked over a lantern, according to the story. But how great a matter a little fire kindles. Right now, there are fires burning in parts of the United States. Some unusual fires, actually. There seems to be a lot of wildfires burning around the nation all the time. But there's some fires burning right now in Texas and Oklahoma and Kansas that have already killed 7, displaced thousands, burned over 1 million acres. There's always fires going in California, Oregon, Arizona, you know, the desert states out there. Lightning can cause them. But a lot of times, you know what causes these big fires that burn so much? Carelessness. A careless campfire. Just not attended or wasn't put out properly. Or somebody flicks a cigarette or something out a window. Carelessness. Sometimes it's intentional. Arson. But more often than not, it's carelessness that causes massive destruction, massive fire. I think there's a lesson here too, because the Bible talks about the tongue as a fire. Careless talk. Careless. Not caring about the consequences. Not caring about the feelings of the person that we're victimizing. Come on, y'all.
Amen.
James, it seems like, could have taken a few minutes here to at least talk about some of the good that the tongue can do, but he doesn't do that. He talks here instead. He focuses entirely on the harm the tongue can do, the destructive nature of it all. And that, I believe, is a lesson for us. Take it to heart. Let's consider these passages. Let's always remember, you are going to get poked and provoked. It's going to happen. It's going to happen at work. It's going to happen in your own house, happen in your family, happen in your neighborhood. You're going to get poked. Somebody's going to say something hurtful, unthoughtful, careless. And you know what you're going to be tempted to do? Reply in kind. That's what we want to do. In fact, we take it up a notch or two. They hurt me, I hurt you more. They hurt me back, I hurt you 10 times as much. And what are we accomplishing? Self-destruction. Proverbs 15 and verse 1. A soft answer turns away wrath. But grievous words, angry words, just stirs up anger. James 3, you still here? I want you to notice just a couple of things. I'm just going to point these out today. In verse 6, this is what he says about the tongue. It's a fire. That is, it's a destructive force. Burn down a forest, burn down a house, burn up your family, cause harm, inflict pain. Tongue is a fire, verse 6. He calls it a world of iniquity. Iniquity, unrighteousness, evil. That's what it means. Injustice, wrong. It's a whole world of all of that. A world of trouble, a world of grief. We know what the Bible says. He who keeps his tongue keeps his soul from troubles. A world of sorrow, a world of hurt, and long, long lasting consequences. Too many adults still today dealing with the consequences of parental verbal abuse. Amen. Too many people in marriages hurt, injured so deeply that they can't get past it. So that relationships were not only strained, they were destroyed because of it. Amen. And set on fire by hell. Set on fire by hell. That, let me tell you, that's a statement. By the way, it's continuous in its sense that hell just keeps feeding the flame. That's where it draws its supply from hell. You know, apart from fuel, a fire goes out. You got to keep adding fuel. Add it to your fireplace, add it to your campfire, whatever. Well, here's what James says. The wicked tongue draws a continual supply of fuel, of energy, from hell itself. Gehenna is the word. From Gehenna, hell fuels the flame of a fiery tongue. God help us, because the devil will use you if you let him.
That's right.
Let's remember, this was written to the believers. My beloved brethren, let every one of us be slow to speak, swift to hear, slow to anger. Hell is the source of the fuel that keeps that tongue vicious and venomous and vile. That's rather sober, I think. It's set on fire of hell. Hell is the inspiration. Hell keeps giving you ammunition to use against others. Come on. That's where the thoughts come from. They come from hell. All the anger, all the animosity, all the resentment. The devil keeps lighting the fire. Doesn't let that fire go out. What do we do? Let's first recognize I have a problem. Hey, denial doesn't help us. Let's admit, look, none of us are perfectly innocent. None of us have aced this and passed it and don't have to take the test no more. It's not like you can wipe your forehead and say, I am so glad I am finished with that course. Because we get more opportunities every week to take it again. Let's admit, I have a problem. Alcoholics Anonymous says one of the keys to their program is you got to say, I got a problem. There's some truth to it now. I don't want to dismiss everything they do, because they have a good track record in a lot of cases. I think in all things we have to admit we have a problem. Even a sinner has to admit, I'm a sinner. Can't get saved until you admit you need a Savior. You don't think you need a Savior? Well, I can handle it on my own. That's the greatest form of a pride that there ever was. I'm okay. I don't need God. I don't need Jesus to save me. I got this. We have to acknowledge we are sinners. And since not one of us have graduated yet with 5 stars, having completed the course on the tongue and never have to take that test again, we have to remind ourselves, I have a problem here, or at the very least, I have a potential. I have the potential to have a problem here of saying things that ought not to be said to people that they ought not to be said to. That I need to practice being slow to speak.
Amen.
And then when we can do that, we can admit we have a problem. Then we can pray, Lord, set a watch on my mouth.
Yes.
But let me tell you, it's got to be, we got to put some muscle to our prayers. Because don't just shrug your shoulders and say, oh, well, no big deal. I only stabbed him 6 times that time, you know, with my pointed tongue. You know. Excuse me. Let's realize that the things coming out of your mouth, Jesus said, they come out of your heart. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And James says, it's coming from hell. That hell is fueling that vile, vicious, virulent, angry, critical, harsh, cruel, that hell itself is providing the fuel.
Amen.
Let's not be Satan's tool.
Right.
Oh God, Help us to control this tongue. Let that be our prayer. Help us to control this tongue. Let's stop burning down our own relationships. Let's remember that if we muzzle our mouth, it's a mark of Christian maturity. James 1, verse 26. It's a mark of maturity. And let's take to heart James 1, verse 19 and 20. Let every one of us be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slower still to anger, because our anger never produces God's righteousness.
Amen.
God help us all.
Yes.
You know what? It's good to know that there's a God who forgives. Who forgives us. Now, the hard thing to keep in mind is that sometimes the consequences of our words cause others to not forgive us. Because we've hurt them, we've injured them, we hit below the belt even with our tongues, and they can't find it in their hearts to forgive you. So you know what you do? You ask them to forgive you. From your heart, you ask them to forgive you. And then you pray that God gives them grace to do that, that they will be able to forgive you. And then you never use your tongue as a destructive weapon again.
Amen. Amen.
Speak what edifies. Ephesians 4:29. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good for the use of edifying, that it may minister grace to the hearers. Is it gracious? Is it kind? Slow to speak. Remember, slow to speak. Father, we pray today that you would help us one and all to govern our speech, to guard our heart, guard our spirit, guard our mouth. Father, help us to forgive those who've injured us. Help us, Lord, to heal from words that have injured us. And Lord, I pray that you would heal those that we have injured with our tongues. I pray, Lord, that you would deliver us from being so hasty to speak. Help us to practice James 1:19. And help us to remember that our anger never produces your righteousness. This we ask in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. All right. Got our shins kicked a little bit. Sometimes we need it. We all need it. This is where we live, beloved. This is just practical where we live Christianity. And sometimes we just have to remind ourselves how much the Bible says, just how much the Bible says about the destructive nature of our tongue. So let's use it for God's good.
Amen.
And God's purposes. Let's stand.